a message about life in the Spirit this morning, and as a subtopic or a subtitle to the message, The Secret of Victory, which we all want victory, but we forget that there is a price to pay for victory, and that is the life in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you today for the freedom that we have in the Spirit of God. It is your desire, Lord, that we not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And yet, so often we fail. I pray this morning that the scriptures that we look at would be more than just words, but would be seeds that are planted in our hearts to inspire each of us to walk more in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to look at quite a few verses this morning, and I mean quite a few. So the first one, and really this should be our text, I would say, is Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, before we read the other two verses, one might read this and say, how in the world can you buy without money? You know, I always think of that line of Clarence in It's a Wonderful Life, when he asks, Jimmy Stewart asks if he has any money. Oh, we don't use money in heaven. And he says, comes in pretty handy down here, Bob. Right? And so it does come in pretty handy down here, but Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is telling us that if you're thirsty, we can come to waters, and that if you have no money, you can buy and eat and drink and wine and milk without money and without price. Now, if you are a student of the Word, this should remind you of another verse from the book of Revelation, where Jesus is telling the last day church, which is us, that you say you're rich and all of these things, and yet you're blind and naked and miserable. And he says, buy of me eye salve. Buy of me gold tried in the furnace. And again, so we see this buy of me. This there is some process, according to scriptures, Isaiah 55, Revelation 2, 3, that tells us that if we are lacking something in the spiritual realm, that we can buy it without money. Well, how does that work? Well, before we answer that, let's read this next verse. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, amidst all of these words, the words that stand out to me is, you labor for that which satisfies not. As you talk about life in the Spirit, that is contrasted, of course, with life in the flesh. And we know that the Bible says that flesh and blood will not enter the kingdom of heaven, and that in our flesh, that in us, Paul said, that is, in my flesh dwells no good thing. God's desire for you and I is to have a life in the Spirit, because a life in the flesh satisfies not. And then in the next verse, he says, incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So in these three verses, we're told that we should come and buy, that we don't need money. It's contrasted with buying things that don't satisfy us. We're told to hearken diligently to this. This is something that the Lord is saying. Hearken diligently, like snapping your fingers. The teacher, Eddie, was a teacher. She knows all about that. You know, give me your eyes thing, right? And so the Lord is snapping his fingers. He's saying, take notice of this. This is a big deal. This will determine your joy, your peace, your happiness. The very course of your life is hanging on your ability to diligently get this. The joy and the peace is life in the Spirit. You see, that's what being thirsty is. The world does not satisfy. We've all been guilty of that. Well, if I just had this, then I could be happy. The people that say, boy, if I could just win the lottery, then I would be happy. What they don't know is that the people that have the money, they're still miserable. The money will not do it. That's that thing you labor for which satisfies not. And so we're told not only to hearken, but incline our ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. That word hear implies something is said. Well, we know something's been said. We got 66 books of it. It's the Word of God. Yesterday morning, as I went to the church to I went to prepare the message, not to the church. I left the house. Sometimes I can easily get distracted by my surroundings. You look and you say, "Well, I need to pick this up, or I need to do this, or the dogs are barking, or the phone's ringing, or TV is blaring," and even though you can go in other rooms, there's always that ambient noise that can distract you. And so I left really early. I went to Jimmy's Egg before the crowd was there. And the lady said, "Do you want it breakfast?" "Not yet." Had my big Thompson Chain Bible with me and notebook. Just keep the coffee coming. And at some point in that time with the Lord, I felt a thirst quenched in a way that I have not felt in a long time. You know, we all get in the Word, and I don't know what it is. It dates back, I guess, to when I first got saved. I was in Bellevue, Nebraska, a little suburb of Omaha, stationed at Offutt Air Force Base there when I got saved. And I would get up. I didn't own a coffee pot. I remember my mother said, "You should eat at home. It's cheaper." "Okay, what should I get?" "Well, make you a salad." "Okay, how do I do that?" "Well, get you a head of lettuce." "Okay, what do I do next?" "Put it in a bowl." I can remember opening the crisper, tearing off part of the lettuce, throwing it in a bowl, put some French dressing on, eating it and running to church. So I was not domesticated. I hadn't been married yet. So I didn't have a coffee pot. I didn't have anything in the apartment I was living in off base. I would go to Village Inn. I found out that's scriptural because I think it's Luke says there was no room for them at the Village Inn. So it seemed like a spiritual place to be. And I would go to the booth behind this wall that separated the front counter. And I got to know Jesus in the Village Inn. Had never read the Bible before in my life. I would get there from 5 o'clock, and I had to be to work at 7:30, and sometimes I'd barely roll into work on time. And I think of the road to Emmaus where they said, "Did not our hearts burn as we walked with him on the road?" And I read about David, and I read about Goliath, and I read about Moses parting the Red Sea. And as I was sitting at Jimmy's Egg yesterday, I thought, you know what? Maybe this is just my place to meet with God. Maybe this is my walking path. Maybe this should be a consistent Saturday morning Jimmy's Egg thing. And not to mention, I did eat breakfast afterwards. I don't know what yours is, but if you're thirsty, you need to find it, because it is life in the Spirit. Amen. Now, I said I got a lot of other verses, and I just preached for 10 minutes on 1 out of 20, so I hope you had breakfast this morning. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3, Moses is speaking, "All the commandments which I command you this day you shall observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers." I like all these words with their conjunctions here. It's life. It's blessings. It's possessing the enemy's turf. And it's all from the Lord. It was a promise from the Lord. If you just if you just obey all the commandments, observe them, and you'll remember all the ways which the Lord, your God, led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger, and then he fed you with manna, which you knew not. Neither did your fathers know, that he might make known to you that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Why do we not spend more time in the Word? It is our life. It is life in the Spirit. It is the energy of life. It is the life that we get to go in and to possess our enemy's land. It is the life that we get to have blessings multiplied upon us. It is everything God wants us to. And he's saying, why would you not do this? This is the bread of life. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life that comes down. He's the heavenly manna. And when we bow our hearts and knees in his word and in prayer, when we confess our sins, when we abide in the vine, then the Spirit of the living God electrifies our soul. And this is life in the Spirit. Amen. Now, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And you know, he quoted in Matthew 4:4, I think it is, that man cannot live by bread alone. And he was contrasting life in the Spirit versus life in the flesh. Because if you remember the temptation, he had been fasting 40 days, and the devil came and offered him hot bread. How many guys have ever smelled hot bread out of the oven? Amen. How many of you ladies can make homemade bread? I've just found some new favorite people in the church. There is just something about the smell of that fresh bread. Have you ever had your stomach just growl when the senses smelled it? It's amazing how all that's connected. And I can imagine after 40 days that Jesus' stomach growled at the sight, sounds that the devil was throwing in his face over warm, fresh bread. But he knew life in the flesh will not satisfy. You will get hungry again. You will get thirsty again. You will need money again. You will feel alone again. But life in the Spirit, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Life in the Spirit is the secret answer to life in general. Jesus, speaking in John 5, said, verily I say unto you, that he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. That's what we're talking about, a life that is no longer has the odor of death around it, but it has the odor of life around it, because we have hearkened the words of Jesus and believed on him who God sent. And now we have no condemnation, and we have passed from death to life. That is life in the Spirit. Glory to God. And then Paul, speaking in Romans 6:11, says, likewise, reckon you also yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you've ever been struggling with the flesh, Romans 6 is not your favorite chapter. You just kind of want to flip past it and get to the icing on the cake, 7 and 8. But you can never really get to 7 and 8 until you understand that if I'm going to live in the flesh, I will never experience the victory that God wants. And so I have to remind myself, my flesh is dead in this area. I am a dead man. Dead men don't lust. Dead men don't gossip. Dead men don't cheat. Dead men don't do these things. And so we're told to reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ. Alive to the Spirit of God. Romans 8:10. And then you get to that. If any man be in Christ, or if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Hallelujah. The Spirit is life. It is life. I am not alive because I was born on December 9th, 1959. I am alive because the Spirit is life. And the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, this is not because I'm righteous. It's because Jesus was righteous. Amen. He is the righteousness of God imputed in me by the power of the Spirit. And so my body of sin, the flesh, is dead, but I am alive by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen? Because of Jesus' righteousness. 2 Corinthians 4:11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. I think I just preached on this, didn't I? That word manifest means clear or obvious to the eye or mind. Now, let's look at this again. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made clear and obvious in our mortal flesh to the people that are looking around. You see, life in the Spirit is so much more than I just feel happy. It is a witness. It is an aroma of the Spirit of God. And people see that and feel that and notice that. And God uses that. And so our spirit man then becomes the witnessing tool. It is not, I need to memorize this and say to this person these words. You know what? I can't make people get saved. It is a spiritual thing. But if I walk in the Spirit can do miraculous things. When you look at the history of great evangelists like D.L. Moody and Billy Graham, the secret of their ministry had nothing to do with intelligence or oratory skills. It all had to do, they had a life in the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You know, I know that we all know that we are Jesus's. But sometimes, and this goes back to the whole 2020 vision thing, sometimes we get caught up in the world. It's easy to do. And getting caught up in the world can be something as simple as association with people who aren't saved, listening to gossip, bad habits, TV watching, can't say amen, say ouch. All of these things are not bad in themselves, but we are no longer our own. In that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. I remember Sister Jeannie, who I got saved under back in Nebraska, used to say, others may, I may not. You know what? Well, he's doing it. It must be all right. No, others may, I may not. Jesus died to deliver me from those things. And so, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to live a life in the Spirit. Most of us can quote Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I was talking to a Christian friend, and I was asking about Joshua, you know, when there's a verse in Joshua about the ark is going to cross, the priests are going to carry it, and then you guys are going to follow back a ways because you never went this way before. And I asked, what do you see in that verse? Well, you know, it's like following Jesus. And, yeah, that's right. That's kind of what the symbol is. And how do we do that? And you know, read your Bible, pray, go to church. And I said, well, there's one thing you forgot. What's that? Faith. You see, I could read my Bible, but if I don't believe it, if I don't respond in faith to what it promises, it doesn't do me any good. And so here we are often misquote this verse. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's His faith, not mine. And because it's His faith, He's got great faith. He's got mountain moving resurrection faith. And when the disciples asked Him after the rich young ruler walked away sorrowful because he had much riches, and Jesus said, how hard is it for a rich man to get into heaven? And they said, well, you know, then who can get to heaven, Lord? And of course, there's a whole camel in the eye needle. I don't believe the teaching in it. I believe, because if that's the case, the story about the camel struggling through some opening in the gate would mean that if I work hard enough, I can get to heaven. And that is not even close to the scriptural precedence for getting to heaven, is it? It has nothing to do with work. It has to do with what God did in faith. And so I think Jesus was meant a literal needle. And that's why they said, then who can be saved? And His response is, with God, all things are possible. And that goes back to faith. You know, if you look at yourself, now I'm going to preach last Sunday's message, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, right? Because if I look at my flesh trying to walk in the Spirit, like we talked about last week, but I look at my flesh and my flesh can't do it, then I can stagger at that. But Abraham didn't stagger at it because he believed the promise of God. How about that? I think I'm just going to. And so we see life in the Spirit is faith in the promises of God. It's saying, well, you know what? I don't have what it takes to finish the race, but I'm just going to have to believe God can do the rest for me. Amen. Abraham believed God that he could have a child in his old age, even though he was 100 years old. He didn't look at his flesh. He looked at the God of his flesh. And so, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There is no point in living if you cannot live for Jesus Christ. There are people out there who live their entire life in the flesh, and they die, and then they die again. But if you were born twice, you die once. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power, say that like R.W. Shambach, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If you receive Jesus, you receive power to become a son of God. When you receive Jesus, you receive power to become a son of God. And because of that, you weren't born in the flesh. You weren't born by blood and none of the will of the flesh and none of the will of man. But it was of God. I remember being at I know I've told this before, being at family reunions, you know, and they all meet. My grandma, well, the church my uncle built up Highway 10, and they all meet on those memorial days, and they have dinner on the grounds. That's what they all call those old timers, you know. And everybody brings their little foil covered pans of fried chicken and potato salad and some of these things. And some relative who hadn't seen my mom in a while would say, well, now, is this yours, Betty? Talking about me, yours, because we're just, you know. Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't know you had another child. Well, he was an accident. I know my mother, and when she heard me say this, she goes, Roger, you know we loved you. We didn't plan you. I said, I know, Mom. But you know what? I found out when I began to read the Bible, I was no accident. See, this says, not of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. They didn't know that they were going to have a little boy that was going to preach the Word of God one day, but God did. Because it wasn't of the blood or the flesh or the will of man, but it was the will of God. And every one of you here today, you were no accident. God had ordained you to be the person you are. He had ordained you to do the things you're doing. You are a light, sit on a hill. You are a fire burning that cannot be put out. You are the burning bush of your community, of your church, of your family, of your neighborhood. And God is going to use you in the Spirit. Amen. 1 Peter 4:7. And we're going to end here. Peter is saying, the end of all things is at hand. Now, how many would agree with that 100%? Right? Because the end of things are... If in Peter's day the end of all things was at hand, I got news for you, honey. The end of all things are at hand right now. And he tells us, be ye therefore sober, which means serious, and watch unto prayer. So how do I live this victorious life in the Spirit? I feast on the Word of God. It is my manna. I have my prayer walk, my village inn, my Jimmy's Egg. I have my meeting place with God. I listen to His Word. I live this spiritual life by faith. I believe God. I don't look at my own weaknesses. I look at His strength. And then I watch into prayer. I pray. I stand in the gap. I make up a hedge. I call upon the name of the Lord. I cry out to the Lord. I humble myself in His presence. And the Spirit of God guides me and leads me and keeps me. And so, one of Nola, let us walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah is right. I cannot imagine what it had been like to be one of those Israelites in the wilderness and get up every morning and see that manna on the ground. It fell early in the morning before sunrise like dew. That's where we get the term honeydew, that some people say it was probably like mushmelon or honeydew. I don't know if it was or not. It was sweet and it fell like dew. If they waited until the sun came up, just like dew on the ground, it would quickly burn away. This is why some people say, and of course David talked about seeking the Lord in the morning. Now some people say, well, I'm not a morning person, and there's no law that says you have to seek the Lord in the morning. I'm just telling you what the symbolism of the manna was. But the other thing about the manna in those days is that it wouldn't keep. If you did get up early and you picked up the manna and you put it in a knapsack and said, I'll just save this for tomorrow, no good. Full of worms. Yeah. Although, except on the Sabbath, then it kept. You can't live on yesterday's manna. Neither can we live on yesterday's Bible study. We need to seek the Lord daily. And so the end of all things are at hand. If we're going to have 2020 vision for 2020, we need to get serious, be sober, and begin to watch into prayer. And I believe that this glorious life in the Spirit is going to begin to change things in us in a way that we have forgotten how good God is as we seek His face, as we abide in the vine, as we walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, let the sun of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you and lower it like a dove.
Guide you by His Holy Spirit the rest of the day and week, in Jesus' name.